I mentioned a name, Terry, had quite an experience yesterday where we decided to get one of these above ground pools, about 15 foot, to go in there and soak and trying to cool off a little bit. So we went to this place in,
Atwood.
Near Burleson. And I mean, that's a man's world. It's farm and home. And when I walked in there, I asked one of the ladies there, I said, "Is this man's heaven?" And she said, "Oh, you just cannot believe." She said, "I get a kick out of watching the men come in here. And when they come in, they're just wandering around." So they walk up one aisle, down another. Like everything gets so fascinating. So we went to get that pool, and we've been debating about it quite a bit because it seemed like it's going to be a lot of work. And there was a man there that was buying the same pool we did. And so I went up to him and I said, "Do you mind if I ask you a question?" And he said, no. I said, "Are these a lot of work? Are they really hard?" And I was asking about it. I said, "Oh, no." So we had one for 4 years, and said we emptied it and the wind came along and destroyed it. And so I'm just here to get another one. And so I said, "Well, what do you do upkeep and so on?" I knew I was going to teach this lesson on suffering. I couldn't believe the story that came out of that man. He was 57 years old, and he had 4 children, and he just lost his daughter. She died in the last 3 years. He's had 5 deaths, very close, and he's dealing with his father, has Alzheimer's. That man went on and on. She was waiting for me, and I was crying. I couldn't believe what was going on, and I thought, what suffering have I done, or have I gone through, compared to what this man is going through? And I said, how do you handle it? He said, "Budweiser." And there didn't seem to be any awareness of God. And I reached over and I took his arm and I hold his arm and I said, it's just shocking me what you've gone through. And I said, "Who do you have to talk to?" And he said, "Nobody." He said, "My dad, you know, we moved him in. I used to be friends with him, but now he's got Alzheimer's and he's just as mean as he can be." And he said, "I'm trying to put him in a home." And he said, "You know, I don't have anybody to talk to." And it looked like a rancher guy, but he deals with these big high cranes and operates them. And I was thinking about, on this lesson of suffering, there are people that are suffering at such a degree that you just have no idea. Just walking down a hall, I wouldn't plan on talking to him about anything, but just to have that man pour his heart out about what's going on. He said, "The only joy I have in my life right now," he says, I got one of these mowers that's a zero turn mower. I've got to mow 13 acres and I got that." And he says, I get on that and I just forget a lot of my troubles. And he said, "The second thing is that I'll be sitting in my recliner and all of a sudden I'll be hearing some scratching at the door. and fumbling with the doorknob, and pretty soon the door opens, and she's a little two-year-old granddaughter comes in and says, "Here I am." And he says that just lifts his spirit to see, but doesn't have anybody to talk to. And you just wonder, you know, she and I and Roger doing counseling and a lot of issues that you hear that people are going through. But the things that are going on now, you know, I hear all of these strange things that are happening, and like Peter said, don't be surprised. Why are you surprised? Well, Peter was dealing with a different audience. He was dealing with an audience that God showed him. Some of them were going to be the torch that lit the way for Nero. And he said, don't be surprised what's going to happen. And I started thinking about the theme for this lesson, and it's about when suffering comes, what are the sources of suffering? Where do they come from? And, you know, some of the things that we go through in our marriages and finances and so on is that what he's talking about? Well, Peter was dealing with those things that face a Christian. We know that one of the sources of suffering is that the moment that I said that I want to follow Christ, I'm on a head-on collision course with much of what the world is going through, and can create a lot of suffering. And he was trying to help us understand, don't be surprised when this happens. Well, why would we be surprised? What is our attitude about God when suffering hits? How many times have you heard in your life, where was God? How did that happen? Does he care? And I think what a title for this is more appropriate, the silence of God. How do you know God was with you in suffering? Did the suffering just stop and you attributed that to God? How do you know that God is there, or is God silent? Was he silent with Job? You know, I made a statement here last time, and you looked at me a little bit strangely, and when I said, you know, we don't have to worry about the devil. Well, the devil is real. Suffering comes from him, and we are going to see it. Right now, God is restraining him, holding back the winds of strife, holding back the potential, what he can do. And in the early church, the devil was shocked that he found that the people who listened to Christ had some strange power that he had never had to deal with, that he couldn't break through. And it says that there is no power on earth any stronger than the weakest person on earth putting their trust in Christ. There is no power on earth as strong as that. And during the first century, the devil was doing everything that he could to try to break down that group, because whatever that thing was that human beings now possessed, that he had no idea what it was, And they weren't falling for the things that he was doing. They weren't as weak as they were before. And he marshaled everything that he could. And that's part of what Peter had in mind. The Lord revealed to him that suffering is really just around the corner. And it's going to come at a level that you just have no idea. And we understand that that's going to happen again. And so when you suffer, does a broken home mean that suffering? Is that the kind of suffering that he's talking about? When you read that in 1 Peter, turn over there if you would. 1 Peter 4. And verse 12. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Would someone please read that? And I'd like for you to pay close attention to what the word surprised is.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you.
Yeah, so it, rather than surprise, it said no strange thing. Anybody else? What do you have? Do anybody have a variety of words?
It says, do not be surprised.
Yeah.
At the fiery ordeal.
Yeah.
That comes on you.
So, why would he say this? Don't be surprised. What is your expectation of God? God in your life. What kind of protection do you just assume that you're going to have as a result of being a Christian? And when it doesn't go that way, we're shocked. And we're shocked about not only what happened, but the silence of God. We're told that when God looked at what was going on before the flood, he got a real bad name about what he did with the flood. Don't kid yourself. God put an end to the antediluvian world. But when we look at the reasons why he put an end to the people before the flood, it hurt him so badly to see how his children were treating one another that he couldn't take it. And he laid them in the grave because he could not go through it. What did God go through? For instance, when Job went through his, what did God go through in the New Testament? Here's this a small band of believers that all of a sudden the devil had no way of breaking through. And he threw everything that he could at them to try to destroy that group. But he couldn't do it, and he piled everything he could on top of it to try to break them. And it's in that environment that we read that there is no power, more power, there is no being or no power known in the world as great as the power of a person who has put their trust in Christ. Now, let me ask you a very personal question. Has there ever been a time when you've done something that you feel that maybe God was punishing you. Have you ever done it? Had something happen when you feel that God laid the guard down and didn't protect you? Yes. It's
times,
George?
Yes.
Yes.
I've had times when he should have.
Oh, okay.
So that happens too.
Okay. Could you flesh that out just a little bit?
Well, there's some things we do we know we shouldn't have, but we don't necessarily get punished for it.
Yeah.
If we have, we still have to confess and be sorry and
try to
do better. But
when those things happen, do you almost feel like God is just there to punish you because of that?
I've tried to get over that.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I was trained that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And it takes a long time to re-educate ourselves.
Many of my troubles I struggle with. I brought this on myself, haven't I?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not God. It's me. I did it.
Okay. Anyone else?
I think that's where you go back to the wages of sin is death. The wages of it's not God punish you, but that wage of reality. You know, we think we should have been punished. Well, the reality is the fact that we're remembering things that occurred that still bother us, that's the consequence. That's the punishment, if you want to say. It's not God going to do that. It's just the reality of where you really lost yourself there.
Yes. And I think at our age that we look back on our past and we see a lot of mistakes. We see a lot of things that we wish we hadn't done, things we wish would have been another way. How many nights do you find yourself that those dreams or those memories come through, and it's almost a torture?
Yeah, why hasn't God pounced on us for that stupid stuff we've done?
How does what?
Why hasn't God pounced on us because of that stuff that we've done?
Yeah, and what do you tell yourself?
You know,
I guess God has a short memory.
Yes, I hope so. Yes, yes.
Well, he said the consequences come, and it's not punishment, it's the correction of a father by letting us experience those consequences. When he would rather protect us from them, but he knows the lessons we can learn are more valuable.
Yeah.
When you said consequence, there are always consequences to our behavior. But we may not see them or recognize them, but they're there. And I like what you said.
And it's not always our behavior, but
yeah.
It's someone
yeah.
else's behavior.
God has a very tender hand to nurture and nourish us, fortunately. Otherwise, we'd all be dead.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how many of those things we bring upon ourselves. The natural result of sin is it's there. It's inherent in that. And it's not God trying to keep us and then punish us because we did some bad thing. But when you look at a Christian suffering in this world, God never wanted us to go through that. But the things that we go through, I know in my life, some of the things that I find myself going over and over and wondering what it would be like if this hadn't happened, or if I hadn't done so and so. That is a suffering. I know that I have personally suffered to the place to where I felt like I was going to slip into oblivion if something didn't happen. And so the kind of suffering that we go through, does it seem like God is silent? What does God do when you suffer? And it doesn't seem to let up. Have you ever questioned that in your mind? Why would God do that?
Yes, Jim? Rather than say suffering, God is providing something for me with which to grow.
I mean, and the lesson mentions that's one of the things. Go ahead.
Because of our stupidity, it gives us opportunity to learn and grow and trust.
And are you quick to remember that statement when you're in the middle of it?
How long? We're in the middle of it. That's the only thing. We're consumed by our stupidity.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we live long enough to be able to look back.
Yeah.
Even if it's a day or a week. But at the moment, we're consumed.
Yeah. And let's talk about one. How many times in your life have you found yourself having a dream or going in a particular direction, and it just seems like interruption, blockade, thing, mishap after mishap, and so on, and your dream comes to naught?
Praise the Lord.
And then you look down the road and you find out it was the best thing that could ever happen. And how do you take the statement that when we get into the kingdom of God, you're going to have a private conversation with your Father, and He is going to lay open to us our life? And I understand that's what that 1,000 years is about. One of the questions is, how did He get here? The other question is, how did I get here? And your Father will open before you your life, and you'll see this golden thread. You will see every detail, every event in your life, but you'll see a golden thread, and you'll come to the conclusion that I wouldn't want to change a thing.
That's hard to imagine.
Huh?
That's hard to imagine.
Yes.
I mean, I believe it. I'm not questioning the belief, but it is hard to imagine. Because right, I sit here, I say, man, I don't know why.
Yeah. But what if it is that we see this bad thing and we're unaware really of what's going on at the time, but we find out some incredible insight that we got into God's character or about our life that we learned as a result of that?
I don't want to be reminded of how stupid I was, except that I'm shown how I was saved from my stupidity.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And to be able to look back and to see, not only was there that golden thread, but to see that in the Father's mind, He always saw you as absolutely priceless. Your deeds, misdeeds, never lessened His love, never lessened your value in His sight. Mark.
I have a thought of how we're all blessed as we get older. Older people that lose our memory. Yeah. Well, in fact, we all to a degree, you know, we're seeing that.
All of us.
That's a blessing, okay? So you're on your last, hours of your life, whatever, months. You have sins, that maybe you feel, like your dreams, we all go through all that. But think about that, the perfection that God has, that He releases that as we're getting ready to die, I mean, there's a peace. I mean, think about the dead people, as people die, there's a, they know they're going, they're on hospice, a little bit. There's a peace about them. Rick, he had it. My father had it. My mother had it. Billy, you know, I mean, you look around our families, we all experience it. But that's a beauty, isn't it? I mean.
Well, Mike, that's resonating very much with me. I died once on the operating table. And my son was there. He was going to jump on my chest. He's a trauma nurse, and he's going to have to open up my chest. He was going to do that. But as I was going, it was the most peaceful thing I ever had in my life. And I don't know how they did it. They shocked me. I jumped off the table without a foot. I didn't remember any of that. But
you were ready. You were ready.
Yeah. But it's just something that God will help us through. I keep looking back. Will I ever be called upon to do what Stephen did? And what is that like, you know, to have them pummel you with those stones and to realize that God gave him peace. He never felt one of them. Yeah, yes.
I read something just recently that really...
Can you hear over here?
No.
That really made some sense to me. The clean mind and the pure mind is when you confess your sins and believe they're forgiven. There's no sin then there in your mind. Mm-hmm. There's no sin. There is no sin. If you have confessed your sin and forsaken them, you've been forgiven.
Yeah. And that's where God puts that sign there. He says, I take them and I throw them in the depths of the sea.
Right. They're gone.
And then I post no fishing.
And that's what God, that's what Jesus is looking for. That's what Jesus is looking for, that we have pure minds.
Yeah.
We have to believe.
Well, and you go back to talking about Stephen, you're talking about, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were more interested in their relationship with God than what the government, what whoever was trying to throw them into the fiery furnace. That was their focus. They knew, so their fight and their fear or flight tendency had been taken away because they were no longer going to be obligated to somebody else's dominion, or someone else's rule. And I think that's what I think, talking about the woke community stuff, I think that's our challenge, is how do we live in a way that we're not caught up in it in the sense of fighting or fearing it, but acknowledging it, but then knowing how to love the people that we're with and knowing how to love the people that we meet in a pool store. You know, I think that's the essence of what Jesus came to show is, we don't have to get caught in that tendency. We don't have to get caught in that whole thing, because it can become a storm. It can become a messy place.
Yes.
Not to shepherd, we are all growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do I, as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, reach the stage of my Christian growth when I can say, like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him?
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he's trying to work into our life now. Did I see another hand? Yes.
Just commenting on your statement, I think that's the promise God gives us, that he's bringing us to that state, that we can reach a point that even through death, that we can have peace. But I think that's a promise and a gift that God gives us, not something necessarily we strive for.
We have that gift today, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about David. God spoke to David and about David. He's a perfect man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult for us to accept that we have the same father that David had.
Yes. You know, it's, you bring up the situation with David. I was reading the Psalms at one time, and I started Psalm 1, and I was reading them straight through, and I kept looking at this statement that kept showing up. I can sleep at night. I can sleep at night. And I thought, why would he say that? I can sleep at night. And then it dawned on me that that's the most vulnerable, weakest time of all human beings. You go to sleep, you're totally vulnerable to whatever. Here's a king that enemies every place. So many people would love to take his life, but he says, I can sleep at night. And to have that kind of relationship with God, that we have that kind of peace, that we can sleep at night. I think it's in the first six chapters he mentions that over and over. I can sleep at night as the king that is the target of so many people. I can trust that God will give me. And so one of the things that Jesus mentioned, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, that I don't have to worry about what is coming. And I know with those things that I've lived life, I've been forgiven, but that doesn't wipe away the history, it doesn't wipe away the memory. And every once in a while, it's almost like the devil is there at the door. And it says he's waiting, with Ham, where it is told, where the Lord was telling Ham, the devil is crouching at your door, ready to attack. Be aware. And we know that that happens, but we also know that we have lived life, we have memories. Forgiveness of sin does not mean that he wipes out the memory. And the devil is there. What is he called? The accuser of the brother. And he's there constantly accusing. And I believe there are times that he takes our mistakes of the past and keeps throwing them before us, hoping that somehow it will break us down and that we will think that God hasn't forgiven. Have you, I'm going to come back to this, I've asked it twice, I'm going to ask it the third time. Does it seem in your life, when you are in stress and then things have happened, that God is silent? How do you know that he's there? How do you know that he has provided that escape? Does it just happen? How do we know? You've nodded your head twice to that statement.
Well, just a lot of things have happened in my life that you would probably term it as suffering the day I was born. You know, so I've kind of always lived, but I have never, when you said, you know, we want to strive to trust God in all things. Where do you go in suffering with the Lord?
I run to the Lord. I don't, you know, people that don't have that. And he's so good to show us in so many different ways when we're suffering. It doesn't make suffering easier. One of the things that probably, you know, was the most challenging thing in my life was when my youngest daughter got ill and there wasn't anything I could do, and I felt probably our family was responsible for what she was suffering. And it was several years, and then, like you say, memories come back and they come back. And I pled with the Lord. I'd stay up at night and just plead. You know, I didn't think he would ever touch my children or that he would ever allow my children to be touched. You know, I can handle this for me. I can, my shoulders are broad, but why is my child suffering? I didn't understand that. But through all of that, he was so amazing. And I look back, and I mean, just real quick, you know, she was supposed to go to the Art Institute in Dallas. She wasn't, you know, mentally good to do that. She'd been accepted, and we had gone to get her an apartment. And anyway, we were in Dallas, and two of my daughters and I said, let's stop for ice cream over in this place in Preston Center. And we went in and got ice cream, and I said, they said, let's go down to that dress shop. And I don't know if I've told this before, but we went to the dress shop. There was a lady in there that approached me, and she said, I understand what your daughter's going through, and I want to mentor her. And as it turned out, she was about 10 years older than Emily, and she, for the next probably 4 or 5 years, was her best friend. They went to New York together. They designed fashion. She had also gone to the Art Institute. She understood everything my daughter was going through that I didn't have a clue about. I didn't understand at all. And God put us there to meet her. And I walked out of there, and I was just overwhelmed. And I said to my two daughters, that was a God thing. And he's lifted my shoulders when I've been praying and hunched over at a desk. I felt him lift my shoulders like I'm meaningless. My life doesn't matter. I'm, you know, lifted my shoulders. He's done physical things. He's done, you know, things where I'm looking at a verse in the Bible, and then I'll look at my cell phone, and it's the very same. Like, I think it was Romans 8:28, and I looked at my cell phone. The time was Romans 8:28, and I thought, okay, that's a message. But he gives us so many. He's so close. And so, is he silent? No. I think sometimes he's silent when everything's good, you know. But he's never been silent when I've been suffering. He's so, so close physically. Puts people. You know, I've had, one time Jeannie Long walked up to me at Burton, would you be my prayer partner? I was going through a terrible time in my marriage. And for the next, until she moved to Michigan, we met once a week at the church, and she was my prayer partner. And that helped me get through those years. Yes, yes. I couldn't believe.
Providing someone for
me to talk to, you know. So he's never been silent, and I don't understand people that say, oh, the Lord is punishing me, or I'm going through this, and so I'm mad at him. I've never. My dad was an alcoholic all my life, very violent. We were all violent in my family. You know, trying to, you know, just a lot of stuff. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and he never quit thinking. You know, and I had to grow up and realize, you know, I didn't have control over that. But during all that time, I would go in the bathroom and lock the door and run the water so nobody would hear me crying growing up. And I would pray and pray and pray. And God was there.
Yeah.
You know, so he's always there. And I wouldn't have wanted to go through the stuff that I've gone through, but he has always been there.
Yeah.
He has never failed me.
Appreciate that so much. Yes.
You know, I like to think of the meaning of the footprints in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as simple as that is, you know, we all, you know, wonder where he is, but he's carrying us.
Absolutely.
You know, it's that simple. You know, he's there, but we don't accept what's going on.
Yes. Yeah, I
love that too.
Yes,
I believe that everybody in this, each of us in this room, could answer your question in our own minds a little bit differently, perhaps.
Yes.
You know, we individually may not have been swallowed by a fish and spit on the beach, may not be a bolt of lightning, but each of us have had those experiences. For me, I listen to quite a bit of music, you know, Bill Gaither, and there's certain songs that I just really keep tucked away in the hard drive, and they just kind of keep coming out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I find I like that. Some people, it may be a scripture, And sometimes it may just be a friend that would show up at the right time, at the right place, and just a little word.
Absolutely.
But I too think that God is not silent. It may not be that bolt of lightning, but I think each one of us probably could say that we have experienced that still small voice in whatever manner it comes.
Yeah. And remember, he says the devil's role is the accuser of the brethren. The Holy Spirit's role is to constantly remind you you're the child of God. In the face, he knows that the devil is trying to torture us. But the voice of the Holy Spirit, you're the child of God. You're the child of God. Yes.
All of us have our times up in the crucible. There's so many times when we tend to believe that God is not there for us. It's a natural feeling for all of us sinners. When I think of Christ in two things, number one, he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age.
Yes.
And secondly, I think of that time in his life when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah. Yes. Anyone else? We're getting close to running out of time. I'll give you a chance.
I think you're touching on the faith part, because God doesn't give a certificate of recommend or anything like that.
Yes.
It has to come through faith in the Word and faith that He is going to do what He says He's going to do.
Yeah. How many of you, through your experience, when you're in a trial, you don't know what to do, or something has happened, or something's happened to your child, and to have a verse of scripture come through your mind?
Yes.
I've had that happen so many times, where he will remind me of his promises, and where he says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will never allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but with every temptation, make a way of escape. And I know when I was first baptized, everything that I'd ever done in my life just kept coming in over and over and over. And I remember taking walks, and I took those verses, and I memorized those verses over and over and over. And how many times has God brought those back to my mind and strengthened me during a time of trial or temptation or whenever the devil is there? He knows the devil is at your door. He knows that he's trying to overwhelm you. But you've got to remember, there is no stronger power in the world than the one who sees themselves as the most helpless person. They are the most powerful people in the world, because God will not allow us to be tempted or to be destroyed beyond what we're able. Father in heaven, I think of Terry, Father. I think what that man must be going through on a daily basis, and I pray that there is something that I said, or a touch, or a smile, or a tear, that let him know that there is someone who cares and someone who is praying for him. Please be with him. Please be with us in this class. I think of the Doss family and what they have gone through in the loss of one of the most precious men. I ask that you'll please strengthen them and help them. Please be with each one here in this class. Thank you. They made their way here this morning to be at this class, hoping that they would leave here with an inspiration or a closer relationship with or a deeper insight into who you are. Please guide us that we may sense your guidance in our life, that golden thread is being laid down in our life this very moment. Please be with the families that are represented here. Please be with the burdens that each heart in this room has at this point. Please be with them. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.